Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
Hi, I'm just waving. Hello, hope you're well. Chris, indeed. Since you've been away doing your cycling and stuff, I've done so much stuff. I've been doing my own cyclothon, aka... Flying to New York, driving an electric car down to Philadelphia, going to all of the indie shows around WrestleMania, attending WrestleMania, driving back up to New York, seeing an eclipse, and then coming home.
Oh, fuck, you saw the eclipse? You lucky rascal.
Saw the eclipse. It was just basically, the eclipse wasn't that interesting because we've obviously experienced them before in London, but the thing that was interesting was that every time I was in a Walgreens or a CVS, people would just run in. Like 3-4 hours before the eclipse would arrive, going, have you got any of those eclipse glasses? And like, people were putting out signs saying, we don't have any of these eclipse glasses. It's just really funny that, like, I had no idea eclipse glasses were a thing, like a can of Coke or a shoe that you could buy. Who makes these eclipse glasses? And they've clearly made too many because everyone had them. But it just made me laugh that, like, for one day and one day alone, people were just running into every shop, unrelated to anything eyeglass wear, and asking for these eclipse glasses. Absolutely fascinating.
There's a man in America, he's been waiting his whole life for this moment, making his eclipse glasses. Today's the day I make my money after all this time. I don't know why he sounds like that. He's not even American, but at least they've made a profit.
It was interesting. It was really interesting kind of driving down from New York in an electric car because, I mean, if you live in a city in if you live in Philadelphia, which is where we were, which is where I had to get the old car charged up, Mustang Bolt? I think it was some kind of car called the Bolt.
Chevy Bolt.
And it takes like 7 hours to charge. And I couldn't find anywhere to charge apart from those really expensive kind of like overnight car parks. And even then, like, you couldn't find a charging pod.
Yeah.
And it was a real logistical fucking nightmare getting this blooming thing charged because you got to charge it back up to give it back to the car hire place, which is another kind of...
Fuck.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to get myself a little electric, but it cost me 5 times as much to have a little.
Why did you choose an electric car, though?
I've never driven an electric car. I wanted to see what it was like. Turns out, difficult to administrate in a busy city.
I know. EV car sales are down quite a bit at the moment. Actually,
right.
And Tesla's laying off quite a bit of their workforce, 10% or something. I mean, I've been in a Tesla. Kind of cool. It's all right. I don't really like having just one big screen, everything on one screen. I like buttons because when you're driving, you know where the buttons are. Tactile.
Haptic feedback, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I could see you getting a little Cybertruck action in there.
No.
Parking it up outside your city pile.
I don't know how I feel about the Cybertruck. It looks cool, but also shit. And
it's funny. I mean, everything that's gone wrong with them is very funny. Rust.
Yeah,
rusty,
like the door.
Steel.
The door doesn't shut properly. It's like, whatever you do, don't wash the Cybertruck.
The fit and finish of a Tesla is well exposed. Nothing ever lines up. Nothing ever looks like it's been put together properly. It's good stuff. Oh, Chris. Oh. Speaking of cars, it's been a long journey. It started in October time, but the Toyota Century is finally on the road with legal road plates. It's outside my house right now. I'm very pleased with myself, Chris.
Well
done. I've not had a chance to drive it. I've been very ill and very busy.
Oh, shit. Yeah. This is a landmark moment, a narrative
it really is.
That's taken 9 months to play out.
It's been a big situation for a long time, so maybe I'll do some filming with it and we'll stick the video at the end of the podcast or something. But it's here. It's long. My neighbours think that I'm a dickhead, but other than that, it's all good.
My God, man. I mean, can we do a podcast in it? Or a segment of
the
podcast?
I could do a podcast from it. I could run an Ethernet cable into it. Yeah.
We've got to feature it in one of these videos. I mean, it's been talked about so much, more than anything else. I don't even know. I think I've only seen one photo of it on the back of like a truck or something in Southampton or wherever it ended up. But that's amazing. From the grit and grime of Yokohama to the macabre streets of Essex.
I think it's kind of, I think it's from Beppo. I think it's originally from Beppo. So lot of sun damage. A lot of sun damage on the paint, but precious little rust, which is good.
Well, Beppo's famous for having like the biggest hot spring town in Japan, so maybe the sulfur fucked the car up. Who knows?
It's certainly
very steamy.
The smell.
But well done. Is it fun to drive around?
I love it. I mean, the traction control light is on, so that doesn't work, but we didn't have traction control in the 70s, did we? Like, if I drive a vintage car, they don't have traction control, they just have car control. So, I'm comfortable. I'll get it fixed at some point. I just need to sort of start driving it. But the first big job is driving into Stack Towers tomorrow morning for a football ramble show. So we'll see how,
Navigating into London.
That one gets on. See how we get on there.
Can you imagine just crashing it on your journey into London, all this time?
Oh, that would be eminent. That's eminently possible, I'm sure.
The traction control's not working.
The traction control doesn't work.
Jesus. Well, good luck to you. Good luck to you. Yeah. And let's hope it makes the journey in one piece.
Yeah, me too.
That would be a very tragic end to this narrative, this story. Epic story. We got a story from Katie. He says, "Hey there, Chris and Pete. On our trip to Japan, my wife, 31 female, and I, 30 female, kept running into funny interactions with locals, where I, a 5-foot masculine lesbian, kept being referred to as my wife's small boy child. My wife is 5'6", female presenting, and her Japanese is pretty good, so she was able to translate for me. A full tattoo sleeve and badonkas of my own would not convince a single soul that I was a 30-year-old lady and not a small boy travelling with his mother. Need to get a Suica card. The kind lady kept asking my wife how old her son was and was very confused when we said that we needed 2 adult Suica cards. Need to find the laundry room in our hotel. I was kindly escorted to the laundry machines in the men's washroom. Need to get museum tickets. My wife was asked if she needed 1 adult and 1 child ticket. No hate to the locals at all. These interactions were taken fully in jest and my wife and I have a new hilarious inside joke between the two of us. We know that gay marriage isn't legal yet in Japan. So we were very conscious of keeping PDA to an absolute minimum. Love the podcast and your YouTube content. Wishing you guys all the best from Ottawa, Canada. Katie."
You say that you were keeping PDA to an absolute minimum, but imagine if at the point in which they are assuming that mother traveling with small child, you just start absolutely going for it, Mackin.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be so good. They'd be so like, oh, what? Yes.
My God.
Brilliant.
My lord, but yeah, no. I mean, at least you got some. You could have got some child price ticket savings.
I know. Alexa, show me. You know what looking a gift horse in the mouth is all about. Good God, guys, you could have got some bloody cheap bloody tickets. Ugh, honestly.
Gay marriage, it's not yet legal in Japan, is it? But then there's places that do sort of. They're getting
Unions.
There. Tokyo and Sapporo, right? Mm. They're getting there. But not.
I think at this point, Katie and her partner would probably take a bit of gay women visibility because they're clearly not enough of it.
I don't think in 12 years I've really met many like gay folks here. It's very under the radar. Like it's still like just nothing here. They keep it concealed.
I think the message here, Chris, is if you work in a museum, check the badonkers.
clearly. My lord. But yeah, that must be trippy. That must be trippy coming to Japan like that and just people reacting to it. But yeah. Cool.
Just a lot, all I'm hearing, Katie, is a lot of missed opportunities for absolute chaos.
Definitely. Oh, my
Kissing
God.
Kissing her son.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, there are bars, though. Like, I mean, Shinjuku's good for that. My first night in Tokyo, in Japan ever, I went to a gay club. That was kind of cool. Everyone was really fun there.
Nichome in Shinjuku's obviously a big...
Yeah, it was in Shinjuku area, Nichome.
But like any gay area, it's like... I used to live in Old Compton Street. It's there's like one gay female bar and then the rest is just lads having pints.
Bloody hell. This week, though, we've got a story that has nothing to do with anything we've talked about. Usually I find a segue... I'm not that good at it this time. Basically, sushi. Sushi is on its way out. Or rather, the good old-fashioned conveyor belt sushi restaurants are on their way out because hygiene. And it mainly involves lots of people doing bad things at sushi restaurants, but also lots of waste as well. Fill us in, Pete. What's going on in the world of sushi in Japan?
Well, it's simple. It's simple, really, Chris. The recent spate of viral videos that we featured on this very channel about pranksters tampering with the dishes that are passing along on a plate. There's a real lack of kind of consumer confidence, I think, in that food, just simply because of a couple of viral videos where some idiot has done something stupid. The customers are just not into the conveyor belt sushi anymore. Obviously, conveyor belt sushi, by its very nature, is slightly wasteful in a society that doesn't really respect that kind of behaviour. And also, these recent videos have kind of like made it clear that people just aren't into conveyor belt sushi at the moment. And one of the Kaiten sushi giants is reportedly doing away with the conveyor belt concept. And they're just basically having the classic, I've got a menu, I ask someone for what I want, or, you know, order on an iPad and deliver an order where people just sort of rock up with dishes. Which, presumably, Chris, must be absolutely brilliant for employment. Surely, if you're replacing a conveyor belt with a human, we're fighting back against the AI. I think this is fantastic.
Not quite, though, because they still use the conveyor belts to send the orders out. So the conveyor belt, basically, I think it's their ending. Right. You know how like they put the sort of fish out and it goes around in circles for half an hour, and then you take it off? Which is cool if you're hungry and you want to get the food straight away. They're getting rid of that, but they're keeping it where the fish is delivered to you on the conveyor belts still.
Okay, so you're still kind of... So you're turning it on, turning it off?
Yeah. So, like, you'll order your salmon and it will come, like, 5 minutes later or whatever down the conveyor belt. I think it's good, though, because I never really liked the idea of eating, like, unfresh, like, crappy fish that's been going around for half an hour, getting heat, like, getting hot and going to shit. So I'm all for it. And also, you know, even though the odds of somebody doing something to the sushi or whatever is low, when you see somebody like licking bottles or licking things and sticking them on the conveyor belt, it does make you think, oh, what's happened to the things on the conveyor belt that have been going round for 3 hours past 200 people? Has somebody done anything? And it's not always the case that they've got plastic over them. When I first moved here, you know, you just have the fish completely bare to the world, just going around in circles. And I think COVID kind of eliminated that because people coughing all over the food, you know, it doesn't really go well. It doesn't really fit with Japan's image, does it? Of like being this clean place where, you know, the food's just going around a bacteria museum, effectively.
Producer David pointed out that video from TMZ caught on a hot camera. It looks like a kind of that's not the word. It literally looks like it's a donut shop, basically. And the singer, songwriter, popstrel, Ariana Grande, is basically just licking donuts that are on the counter.
I mean, people would want those donuts. What's the ethics behind that?
When did this happen? It was 8 years ago. All right, yeah. Ariana Grande's new boyfriend got upstaged by her tongue, which got dinged to us as some powdered donuts. I mean, if you are in the business of licking stuff that are in shops, you really have to be careful that you're not being caught on camera. You need to know where the camera is, guys.
I would like to think our listeners don't lick donuts for their own pleasure or fun. I don't know what she was thinking.
They bought.
What was she thinking, Pete? What was going through her mind?
I want some icing sugar in my mouth. She's probably thinking that.
I mean, it's always Ariana Grande, these stories. Like, remember when she
tattooed... all over this podcast.
She tattooed Shichirin onto her wrist or something. She had a song called Seven Rings, and they fucked up the kanji, and it was like a small barbecue grill, and it was not what she... You know, Ariana Grande didn't have an obsession with Japan's tiny barbecue grills, but I think that's actually quite a good tattoo. As somebody who loves barbecue, I would get it on my wrist. I would get it.
Don't lick food on a barbecue. That's what I would say. Probably a bad idea, I think.
But yeah, I mean, so don't worry, guys. The world of conveyor belt sushi isn't entirely coming to an end. But I think the bit that isn't that good is coming to an end. And I don't know what it's like in the UK. I know we've got like Yo Sushi where they have the conveyor belts as well. And I know they still do it where they have the crappy food going around in circles all day.
Well, the good stuff, you got to order special anyway. The karaage and stuff, you got to press a little button and order it that way. So I never, it's always like the crap stuff. Never the premium stuff that's been flown around. Like, it's not a true conveyor belt sushi place for me.
And also the fact the food is shit is also not a good conveyor belt sushi restaurant.
Does it? No.
Yeah. But, I mean, on the cycle, we went to sushi once or twice. Hamazushi is a really good chain. And, if you're in town, Hamazushi is a good one. And also Sushi Zanmai, one of my favourites as well. We're back to this moment, guys, with the stories, comments and questions this week in the fax machine.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Got a message from Adam from New York City. Hi, Chris and Pete. My wife and I are traveling to Japan in May and wondering if we need a pocket Wi-Fi. Our cell phone carrier says we will have 5G coverage everywhere we're going, but I've seen so many people suggesting pocket Wi-Fi. It has me wondering, is phone service unreliable? We'll be going to Tokyo, Kyoto and Osaka. Thanks so much. Relatively new listener, but loving the show. Adam, I would jump in here because obviously Chris is a resident of Japan. I went to New York and Philadelphia recently for WrestleMania, and my local EE in London was charging me like something like £6 a day for 150 megabytes.
Oof.
150 megabytes. Awful. Absolutely awful. But there is a company called Ubigi, who we've spoke about before, not sponsored nor nothing, who do eSIMs. So if your phone is eSIM compatible, I would recommend just getting to Japan. If your phone service is letting you down, just get the Ubigi app, and they send you. You basically got all around the world. You've got like all these different eSIMs for data, and you could just use the eSIM for data, retaining your mobile phone number, WhatsApp, and all the things that you normally do. So the phone thinks is only using it for data, basically. So it's a really interesting and easy, painless system, and something that I took full use of while I was in America. But I've used it in Japan as well, and it was really, really good coverage. So, yeah, get there. If it doesn't work, don't worry. You don't have to go hunting around like the back streets of Japan for data. Just grab an Ubigi eSIM. Other companies do it, I'm sure. But
I mean, just eSIMs in general are the way to go. I don't think pocket Wi-Fi is good because you've got this external thing you're going to carry around.
I've lost so many of those. I've been in groups where one of us has lost theirs in like a busy nightclub or something, like a big hot, and if you use it quite a lot, or if it is kind of like floating in and out of reception, they get bloody hot, like really hot pebbles in the pocket.
They do, yeah.
It's not ideal. So yeah,
we tried to use them on, I think, a Journey Across Japan shoot a while back, and it's just shit. They just died. So yeah, eSIM's the way to go. Definitely the future. Yeah. Hello, Crunky Chris and PremiumPete.com. For a first-time traveller to Japan with next to no command of the language, is it wise to be getting connecting flights from Tokyo on arrival into the country? Or is this an invite to be bombarded with information at the airport when terribly jet-lagged and adding pressure to make a connection? Are connections pretty straightforward, or should I just go to a Tokyo hotel? Any advice is appreciated. Thank you, Ridley. No, it's really easy. Like I used to do it all the time when I lived in North Japan in Yamagata, right? Get into Tokyo, literally at the airport, there'll be a sign being like, connecting flights this way, Tokyo, fun that way. And you just go, and it's easy. A friend of mine is in Hokkaido now, and he just went straight to Haneda and, you know, got on the first flight to Hokkaido direct. So easy peasy. It would be more stressful to leave.
Kokonai Taminaru.
He remembers domestic terminal. Kokonai. Yeah. Domestic. Kokonai. Well done. Speedy Japanese has returned. Yeah. with limited vocabulary.
Limited vocabulary.
Unless you're in an airport. Konnichiwa, gentlemen, says Hannah from Sweden. Thank you for your work on the podcast, bringing you entertaining stories week after week. I have a question related to the new Japanese film, Perfect Days, a film about a toilet cleaner in Tokyo who finds joy and beauty in the smallest moments of life. I want to watch this film, actually. I've heard good things. My question to you both is, what are the coolest toilets you visited in Tokyo and the rest of Japan? Keep up the great work on the podcast. Best, Hannah from Sweden. The best toilet in Japan.
Oh,
the best. I mean, I went to the bloody toilets that I think are in this film, the ones in near Harajuku, where they're like transparent and you close the door and lock it and it goes opaque. And I went and it was just like, today the toilets are broken, so just opaque. Thank God it wasn't just transparent. The limitations exposed. It's quite a leap of faith, isn't it, to go into a toilet where the walls are electronically like transparent or opaque. What if you're just sitting there and suddenly it flickers off? Anyway, luckily, the best toilet. What's the best toilet you've been to, Pete?
They're always like the ones. They're always the ones that are in sort of public parks because it's really hot. There's always the risk of getting a spider nibbling on you, really. And there's just a lot of, are also like truck stop bathrooms as well, where there's always pictures up saying "watch out for this spider," which makes for a really exciting ablution, I think.
Spider toilets. Yeah. I mean, what I'm glad is that they've definitely done a good job getting rid of the traditional Japanese style toilets. Each year, I've noticed they are disappearing, and that can only be a good thing. The fact that I've only used, the last time I used one was probably like 8 years ago, is very exciting. Because I remember when I first came here, they were a lot more widespread, particularly in parks and things. And when you're desperate to use the bathroom and you go in and it's like a squat toilet, and you just, to this day, I still don't know how the fucking things work. The fact that they've gone almost extinct can only be a good thing. And if you meet a spider in there, a cheeky bonus as well. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment down below on YouTube. For now, though, guys, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.